You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Governor Gavin Newsom's May budget revision paints a different picture for California compared to his original proposal back in January. Instead of seeing a modest surplus, the state is facing a projected $12 billion shortfall. Yesterday's revise isn't the end of the budget saga. Lawmakers will still need to hammer out a final deal, a balanced budget, by June 15th, so about a month, and much is still up in the air due to uncertainties around federal funding cuts that are currently being considered by Congress. Joining us now to break down this latest budget revision and what it says about the governor's priorities is Eric Ha. He is California's budget and education reporter at Politico. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
So the big headline is out there, the big dollar sign of the budget shortfall for the state, as well as some of the cuts, the big ones that the governor is proposing. You were there in the flesh yesterday, and there was a setup before actually leading with or diving into the budget deficit and proposed cuts and changes and revisions to have a balanced budget. What stands out to you about Governor Newsom's framing of California's fiscal picture?
Yeah, it was a very long press conference that kind of touched close to 3 hours. But the governor started off by really pointing to California's successes, right? The number of Fortune 500 companies that are here, talking about how California is among the top in this nation in manufacturing, innovation, research, the fact that it's grown to now the fourth largest economy. So really touting sort of how the state is doing well, relatively. But it kind of set up this, it was sort of good news before the bad news, right? The deficit that he was projecting in the budget is $12 billion, which is was starkly different from January when he actually proposed a small surplus, depending on who you ask. And he really sort of pivoted to this idea of the Trump slump. And he had that on a huge sort of slide and in capital letters, sort of as he kind of pivoted away from touting the state's successes. And he kind of described how, you know, the tariffs that Trump has proposed, the Liberation Day proposal, and how it's sort of led to fewer imports and the decline in volume to ports in LA and Long Beach, the volatility is created in the stock market. And so that was what he sort of blamed the revenue side on. But he did make clear he was asked about this during the Q&A portion about, you know, if he expected Trump or the White House to respond to his framing. And he said that he didn't blame the president for the deficit. He acknowledged that, you know, there were prior issues of spending in the state before this year. And Trump's policies are certainly not helping with that, with the volatility. But he did sort of kind of hedge a little bit on in terms of fully blaming Trump for the deficit.
Okay, so that was probably a couple hours into this press conference. He didn't lead out of the gate with that. So it seems like that was a little bit buried in a headline that was Trump slump.
I would say so. I mean, he didn't come out saying that, right? So I think the framing that the governor wants to see and that maybe Democrats want to see is that, you know, we were doing well as a state and talking to lawmakers leading up to this proposal sort of folks who are in this space, they all kind of pointed to the whole ballgame is in Washington. So that sort of has been the framing all along. Obviously, you know, there was a deficit last year that they had to solve for. It was $48 billion. And so that was obviously well before Trump's policies were even in play. So that was something that was obviously, as you said, buried in there, but a fact that he did acknowledge.
How does the branding of Trump slump, as the governor coined? It's been about 24 hours since the press conference. Is it sticking? How is it landing? Are there groups pushing back? Or, I guess, what has been the response 24 hours after this May revise announcement?
Yeah, I think generally it is factual that the Trump's policies have sort of put California's revenues in a tough spot. The state is highly dependent on capital gains, which is kind of the stock market, and reliant on taxes, right? So it is a reality that is acknowledged, but I think that some of his solutions are getting some heat. And at the end of the day, it is the governor's budget, and sort of reflects his priorities and what he wants to see and programs that he wants to cut or to keep. So, while the idea of the Trump slump is I think good branding for them, I think some of the cuts that he proposed, especially to Medi-Cal, to healthcare, are really drawing some heat from advocates, especially in the medical community.
Yeah. Are there other programs or issues that stood out to you as some of the governor's priorities in his modified budget, a budget wish list?
Yeah, I think he did keep some climate programs in there, extending the cap and trade program that I know has been a priority of his. On the education side, he kept funding for universal TK, which has been another one of his signature proposals. And one of the most surprising parts of his budget, I think, was seeing the cuts to the UC and CSUs not restored entirely, but I guess at a time when there is a lot of federal uncertainty over funding to higher education. Newsom had proposed an 8% slash to both institutions back in January. There was heavy lobbying, both within the legislature and from the universities, to reverse those cuts, citing the sort of extensive threats they're facing from the Trump administration. And we saw kind of a little bit of a compromise here in terms of, slashing those cuts down to 3%, which it's still a cut, but in light of a multi-billion dollar deficit, getting a 5% swing is sort of completely unexpected from a lot of perspectives.
Yeah, I mean, you also cover education, so I would imagine you have been following this pretty closely over the last 4 months or so. Was it surprising to you when that came to light yesterday during the May revise?
It was, in all honesty, I was preparing to write a story that he was going to keep the cuts, and so it kind of came out of left field. But I guess when you think about it in terms of what, if we asked about what he's trying to prioritize, I think the fact that Trump is threatening to pull federal funding, and he already has pulled hundreds of billion dollars in research grants to these schools. This is something that I think is high on his list of wanting to protect if possible. And we also saw that on the K through 12 side as well. There were few cuts compared to January. And I think this comes at a time when the Department of Education is potentially closing down. And so this could be sort of a nudge in terms of making sure funding for education is protected. But that is something we can't really say on the health side, in terms of the cuts to Medi-Cal. And so it sort of is a weird split screen in terms of maybe what he's choosing to cut from to solve for this deficit.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Politico reporter Eric Hu about Governor Newsom's revised budget, the May revise, which was released yesterday and projects a $12 billion deficit. So the May revise is the governor's proposal. This now moves to the state legislature. State lawmakers need to pass a balanced budget by June 15th, or they don't get paid. What has been the response from Democrats, Republicans, and others to the May revise yesterday?
Yeah, I think that the branding that we described earlier, the Trump slump, that's sort of the line that people within the governor's party, the Democrats, are touting. Assembly Speaker Robert Rivas put out a statement saying that the damage from Trump's attacks on America's economy is clear, pointing to his reckless tariffs. The budget chair of the assembly, Jesse Gabriel, also pointed to the president's tariffs as a self-inflicted economic wound that will have real consequences for California families and for our state budget. So again, really leaning into this Trump framing. Republicans predictably are blaming the deficit on things beyond Trump, right? I talked to Roger Nilo. He's the state senator who is vice chair of the budget committee in the Senate. He framed it as, yes, there are federal uncertainties, but this is the product of mismanagement from the state officials, you know, dating back before Trump. And he actually tried to coin the phrase Gavin's gap as opposed to the Trump slump. So pretty different responses there. And then in regards to sort of cutting, Medi-Cal for undocumented immigrants, which Newsom proposed to kind of close around $5 billion in their shortfall, they sort of said this is a policy that we knew wouldn't have worked, and the governor is finally acknowledging that. So it may be a little victory for Republicans who sort of have been railing against the governor's spending ideas for a while.
Eric, given the uncertainty about federal funding, is it possible for this deficit to get worse between now and when a final budget is adopted?
That's entirely possible. And I think it goes back to the federal uncertainty, right? It's Congress is still working on their budget plan for this year. Trump is floating, you know, cuts to programs that might trickle down and really hamper the way the state has to backfill or potentially, you know, make adjustments to sort of these key safety net programs, which may require lawmakers to come back after the session ends in September. I referenced Jesse Gabriel earlier, the Assembly Budget Chair. He's been pretty clear this whole time that this whole ballgame is in Washington, D.C., that lawmakers can and they have to pass a balanced budget by June 15th. But the reality is that there could be numbers that change, you know, rapidly and sort of in a large scale after the deadline passes.
I would also think because of the wildfires in the Los Angeles area at the start of the year, LA County is home to a quarter of California's population, and they could defer their tax filings. They didn't have to file in April. That could also shape and change the state's financial or fiscal picture.
Right. And it's a little less than a few years ago when I mentioned the $48 billion deficit earlier, and that was in part due to a delay in tax filings for most of the counties after the winter storms in 2023. But this is still a quarter of the state's residents. So that is a huge unknown in terms of how that would affect revenues coming in. So that's really another factor on top of all this uncertainty.
Hmm. I'm also curious, leading up to the May revise yesterday, the governor announced a variety of different actions, kind of like teasers leading up to the May revise, fast tracking the Delta conveyance project, expanding CalRx's, you know, prescriptions, the authority to include medication abortions, et cetera. Why do you think he did that? And do these actions play a significant role in upcoming budget talks? Does this mean that this is what the governor is prioritizing?
I think it signals what he wants to see. These are not proposals that are, they are related to budget and that there is money involved, but not necessarily part of a huge sort of budget specific focus. So these are going to come out in what are called trailer bills, which implement the budgets sort of after it's passed. So they kind of stick to the governor's proposals in that these are his ideas that the housing, the CalRx, and the Delta Tunnel streamlining as well. So this is sort of a negotiation that he kind of puts on with the legislature, and they'll kind of take that into account moving forward. And I guess the May revise, it's a way that, and I mentioned that it lasted nearly 3 hours long, and he talked for about upwards of an hour, right? And so it's a chance for him to sort of, in addition to presenting numbers, really be out there and present sort of a grander vision of what he's done so far what he's going to address in terms of larger proposals for the state, and really give them a chance to set the narrative before lawmakers pass their own plan.
Yeah, finally, June 15th is going to be here before you know it. And I know that's not the end, but it is a big deadline. What are you going to be looking for in the next couple weeks?
Yeah, I'm mostly looking for how lawmakers are going to react to his proposal. I think that the cuts to Medi-Cal are going to draw a lot of attention, I think, even within his own party. Lawmakers are going to meet in committees. There are some going on today, as a matter of fact, responding to the May revision. So this really it comes down to sort of, do they want to push back on some of his proposals to address the shortfall? Do they want to propose cutting from other programs? And then it really comes down to negotiation in terms of what the lawmakers want and what the governor wants. And so we'll see how that plays out with the federal uncertainty kind of looming in the background.
Eric, thanks for joining us. I know it's been a busy week for you.
Thank you for having me.
Eric Ha is Politico's California budget and education reporter. We've been breaking down Governor Gavin Newsom's revised budget, which was released yesterday and projects a $12 billion budget shortfall. State lawmakers have until June 15th to pass a balanced budget. Still ahead, it is time for In a Nutshell's monthly storytelling series at the Sophia. We'll get a preview of the mostly true stories. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.